News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our FM and AM capability here at WVNN, just know that you can go to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org, and click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where we is, there you is, or vice versa. Anyway, truth be told, you can listen to us live no matter where you are. That's why we got listeners like in multiple states and all over the place. It's very cool. Very much an honor to have this platform, have so many of you listening in. So I got to say too, you know, it's a very apparent thing that I said and I meant that Ralph Keel, and he's probably out there. I don't know if he's listening to the show at all, but I know Ralph still lives here in Huntsville, but he had a dramatic impact on my life personally, just by remembering my name. Now, truthfully, you know, the true impact on my life, I guess would have to say is my growth in my faith and my walk with the Lord, through the time that I spent with Young Life, and then Young Life getting me reinvested back in my church. And so that was the cool thing. But in terms of having an individual person that did something like that, very small thing. He probably had no idea, if I connected the dots, how much I could see coming out of that one moment. But I'm serious, folks. That personal contact's huge, and we're seeing so little of it, or at least a diminishing of it, in the past year and a half. The whole social distancing thing is just really raking that over the coals, and it's creating issues that I'll go into more here in a few minutes. And I got to ask you, though, hey, Copper, so let me ask you this. I'm talking about, like, Ralph Keel and that interaction in my life. Has there ever been someone that's, like, because of their personal interaction that it had a dramatic impact on you?
Yeah, I think one of the wonderful women at my current church, the first time I visited, it had been after a period in my life where most of the churches I'd gone to were very unwelcoming. And when my sister and I arrived late and were all awkward and thought we'd just sneak out afterwards, she came up to us afterwards and just with this like beaming smile, like radiating joy, she was just like, "I'm so happy you're here." And she meant it. It was so simple, but so genuine. And then the second time I came there, like you said, she remembered my name. She remembered who I was, and she came up to me. And it helped me basically get back into regularly attending church.
That's way cool. I remember, where we go at Church of the Highlands, they have what they call the Dream Team. It's basically people who are actively engaged in the processes of volunteering to help each service and do all the things it takes, because the staff can't do it by themselves. And even to the extent that we have greeters, one of my favorite things to do is drive the golf cart, believe it or not. I like running around the parking lot, and little kids are always wanting to get a ride on the golf cart to the door, which is my favorite part when the parents and the kids are, and I always tell them, "Come on, guys, it's like Six Flags at church," and they hop in the cart and I run them up to the door. But I remember, there was one rainy day, and I was one of the greeters outside, and a lady told me later on that that she was coming to visit for the first time, and when a greeter kind of ran out in the rain with an umbrella to walk her to the door, she said, "I had found my church."
Aww.
It wasn't the sermon, it wasn't the singing, it wasn't the fact that the facilities were, you know, very cool or whatever. In fact, at the time, we were actually meeting in a high school, so how cool can that be? But nonetheless, she said, at that moment, I knew I'd found my church. And that personal touch is huge. It's just huge. And social distancing, I mean, that just flies against the grain if you get down to it. The reason why they're having to say do it is because we don't do it as a matter of course. I think that word should be erased from our lexicon, if you know what I mean. Just get rid of it. And social distancing, what does that even mean? But hey, I got a caller coming in. Copper, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and take it right now. We got a couple minutes here. Brian from Huntsville's on line three. Brian, what's on your mind, man?
Well, I did a couple of things there. I went to Campus Life, which was from Lee High School, was an offspring of Young Life.
Absolutely.
And they had some influence on me, but the person that had the most influence on me was Drill Sergeant Klima in the Army, because he thought, for some reason, he thought I was good beyond everything and I messed something up. And he said, "Brian, you came down with a bad case of the dumb, let's say, donkey, okay?" And that stuck with me, because I never wanted to disappoint that man again.
Yeah, well, isn't that funny how the authorities in your life sometimes can also mean a lot to you? But so, hey, Brian, what year did you graduate from Lee High School, can I ask?
1983. Did you get out of Grissom at 83?
I got out of Grissom in 83. I did. And then, actually,
Did you know my wife
back
now,
the next
Lisa
year.
Cole?
I'm sorry, what?
My current wife, and the only wife I've ever had, was Lisa Cole back at that time, and she was graduating in 84.
No kidding. No kidding. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, it was
Danny
funny, too.
Cole,
is
Lori Cole, there wasn't Lori Cole at that point.
Well, right after high school, I went through training to be a Young Life volunteer, and the first place they had me go do Young Life Club was to help start a Young Life Club at Lee High School in 1984. So, yeah,
oh, wow.
Good times. Good times. Brian, thanks for the call, man. We're up against a break, but I appreciate it. And yeah, and thanks for your service, too, by the way. All right, folks, listen, it's so important. When we come back, I'm going to tell you some of the downsides of social distancing. You know, we're talking about people that are impacting our lives, and yet we're being told to stay away from people's lives. Well, I'm at the point where I'm saying, you just forget that. I am not there anymore. Put on the mask. If you feel like you need to get the shot, get the shot. But it's time for life to go back. And the idea that, Copper, I see your comment. You weren't even born then. I understand. Yes, that's right. I've got socks that are older than you, probably.
Oh, boy.
But the reality is, this is what we say in my family. Copper, we love you in spite of yourself, just so you know that. Thank you very much. But anyway, folks, when we come back, I'm going to tell you about some stuff that's going on right now that we're seeing reports come out about the impact of social distancing, if you want to call it that, is having upon the public as a whole. Mental health's a big deal. I'm not gonna deny that it's a big deal. And I'm also not gonna mollycoddle the concept of it, because some of it is fixable simply by doing away with the fear that is keeping people quarantined for no reason. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Be encouraged, folks. It's time to get back out there. Back in a minute. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, hosting Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Sitting here in the studio right now, having a cup of Just Love Coffee. You heard them advertised a moment ago. Just Love Coffee is one of our newest team members, and they are on board and advertising with the show. But I also want to tell you, too, I communicate with them. Travis, who runs Just Love Coffee's two locations here in the area. We've got one on South Memorial Parkway, Just Love Cafe there on South Memorial Parkway, another one out in Hughes Road in Madison. He and I were talking about, I mean, I love their menu. I love the blends and the brews of coffee you can get out there, and a great setting where you can just hang out and have a cup of coffee, hang out with friends, do a little studying, use their internet Wi-Fi if you want to. But he was also letting me know, too, they're hiring right now. I mean, you can go put an application in. If you want to work at one of the cooler places here in the community, just go check out Just Love Coffee. That application's right there at their door. You can just go take an application and fill it out. Just Love Coffee. Two locations here in Huntsville and in Madison. So listen, I'm talking about the fact that social distancing can have a devastating effect on people in general. And I've got a clip, Copper, just so you know, I've got a clip that I forgot to include in my audio for the day that I may be sending you here while we're on the air in just a few minutes. And if I can get, thank you, Copper's giving me the thumbs up. So all said and done, if I can get that to you, I will. And I'm reminded, by the way, like for instance, Jeremiah Denton. Some of y'all remember Jeremiah Denton. He was a U.S. senator for Alabama for a period of time. He was also a war hero, shot down in the Vietnam War. I believe he spent 7 years in captivity, to include being in what they called the Hanoi Hilton, which was a tongue-in-cheek name given to one of the worst prisons for U.S. forces in the Vietnam conflict. But Denton, I believe, spent 4.5 years, 4.5 years in solitary confinement. Can you imagine? And, you know, John McCain was also in the Hanoi Hilton, and a number of other people. And it's just, It's amazing to me what people have had to go through. But like I said earlier in my monologue, there's a reason why solitary confinement is considered a punishment, because we are social creatures. We're the kind of people that we're people that need people. And I don't mean that like in the touchy-feely sense and oh, we have to have community and there goes, but for the grace of God, there goes I, it takes a village to raise it. None of that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is it makes a difference to have the impact of other people's lives on your own. It also makes a difference for your own well-being to get out and see people, to recognize you're not alone. It's like I said on this show when we first started doing this. If you listen to Right Side Radio, one of the things I hope you walk away from this with, aside from the idea of how to verbalize our conservatism and how to stand up for the things we believe in, is the fact that, hey, you are not alone. There's an entire audience here of Right Side Ruffians, people that believe like you do, who are looking at the world going, wow, what is going on over there? And I'm not going to let that happen on my watch. And that's an important piece of this whole concept, is recognizing you are not alone in the processes. Well, I'm looking at an article right here. This came off NBC News. This one's actually a year old, believe it or not. A year and a half old. March of 2020. Just when they were starting to use the new mantra of social distancing. We've got a report out here by Ethan Sachs on NBC News studying whether or not this was going to have an impact on people's mental health. This headline of the article a year and a half ago was, quote, "Social distancing could have a devastating effect on people with depression." You think? Well, what happens when you're by yourself with your own thoughts? Well, if your thoughts ain't good, you tend to sit there and just like dwell in them. Like you're just wallowing in your own stuff. And folks, there's times when you need to have somebody else look you in the eye and go, no, it's not like that. No, you're better than that. No, you can do that. No, stop it. It's going to be better. You need somebody else once in a while to sort of speak into the issues with you, or just to remind you that you're not alone. That's why we have so much going on right now with the rate of suicide among veterans. Veterans need to look out for each other. You see somebody with an issue, you call them and check on them. And you use the battle buddy system. You don't leave them by themselves. And if nothing else, all you're doing is checking. If you're anyone out there who's ever been in recovery from alcoholism or drug abuse, you know that one of the things you have is your sponsor. If you're doing the AA program, I used to work in a facility that taught the AA program to folks. I used to work with adolescents in a treatment center before I ever went on staff with Young Life. And if you're working with folks who are in the AA program, you know that one of the things they do is they encourage you to have a sponsor. And if it comes down to the point where you're at that moment of isolation and temptation to go back and to relapse on your recovery, you call somebody. I knew back in the day before cell phones, I had a friend who was an addict, and she kept a quarter in her pocket at all times, because that's what it took to use a payphone back then. So she would never be without the ability to call her sponsor if she needed to, because sometimes you need the other person to help speak into your life. Well, this study I'm looking at from NBC News, it flat out says it. As the coronavirus advances across the country, back then we were still talking about 14 days to flatten the curve, right? As the coronavirus advances across the country, more Americans are staying in their homes, social distancing. But for those suffering from depression, it says, especially with suicidal thoughts, it is definitely not what the doctor ordered. It goes on to say, quoting from a lady named Dr. Emily Roberts, she's a Manhattan-based psychotherapist, said, if you're struggling with a mental health disease, if you're relying on therapy, it's going to be very hard to motivate yourself to get the help you need. True. And folks, I'm just telling you, sometimes motivation is the hardest thing in the world to muster, especially when you're sick or not feeling well. And then when you add depression on top of that, it's even harder to find the energy. And so one of the things that's happening in the middle of all this pandemic and the people socially distancing themselves or being forced to socially distance themselves because of mandatory quarantines is that people who suffer with mental health or who are showing clear indicators of the onset of mental health because of the isolation, they're made worse off by the isolation. It's a difficult round robin that you've got to get through. So I'm just telling you right now, one of the things that's so important is that we do not forget the personal touch of lives. I mean, if there's someone that's been on your mind, it may be for a reason, give them a call. If there is somebody who you've seen that you know has not been out of the house in a while, call and encourage them to get out. Go for a walk. Do something. Get some fresh air. But it says right here that in the article I'm reading, the psychotherapist even says it a year and a half ago. Part of what takes such a big mental health toll during a pandemic is it goes against what she called the primal human social instinct to seek comfort in a larger group, whether it can be family, friends, neighbors, or coworkers. And she, in another one here, Judith Moskowitz, a professor of medical social science at Northwestern University, she said, humans are wired to be social creatures. Oh, look, I just said that. Humans are wired to be social creatures, and that's how we cope when a big disaster happens. Now we're being told to cope by staying away from each other. And there was a study done of Toronto residents who had been under quarantine during the SARS epidemic back when, 2004. The SARS epidemic, which found that post-traumatic stress disorder and depression were observed in almost 30% of respondents because of their isolation. Now, folks, I'm not sitting here trying to depress you by any stretch. What I am trying to do is encourage you. It's time to get out. It's time to get out and see if you can return to life, so to speak. Get out and see what it's like to see the world again. Now, a lot of you already are, and I get it. I mean, my folks right here, Right Side Ruffians, a bunch of y'all have already, maybe you never even stopped working. A bunch of y'all have pushed back on the idea of social distancing. A bunch of y'all blew off the idea of having to be apart from each other. And I get it, and I agree. I mean, I you know, with the exception of the fact that our church wasn't meeting, we did church online for quite a while, but the reality is my office never shut down. The work that I did with the Policy Institute never stopped, and there were things that may have had a different flavor to them, so to speak, but I was still out there doing stuff, but not everybody was that way. I have friends that to this day have not gone back to church yet. And I'm just telling you, it's time. It's time. There are no other protections available. It's time. COVID is not going away tomorrow. It is time. If you've already gotten all the things they say could help you to be resistant to the virus, then there's nothing else to do except step back out into the world. Come on back out in the light of day. And that's so important. I mean, I'm looking at another study right here. This one, where did this come from? I pulled this off of a, I forgot to write down where it came from. Joe D'Onofrio, written October of this year. Anyway, it's called Caring for the Vulnerable, the Impact of COVID-19 on Mental Health in Teens and Seniors. It talks about the fact that changes in work and school and all the other social routines that we have, and the fear, it even says it, the fear of contracting or spreading the virus, and the loss of loved ones to the virus has also taken a toll. So it's saying that health experts are seeing more impacts in the upper and lower end of our age spectrum, all right? It's saying that the pandemic, first of all, in ages 65 and older, and it points out that even in normal times, the elderly sometimes face more social isolations and isolationism and financial challenges and personal illnesses and that kind of thing, and that can cause anxiety and depression by itself. But when you couple that with the fact that they've been socially isolated altogether, and they can't even see their grandkids, or, you know, sometimes they're in a nursing home and you can't visit. I've heard horrible stories about nursing homes not allowing people to see their family member. And the decline becomes more abject because they lose that personal touch with those they love. It's got to stop. This crap's got to stop. I'm going to tell you right now, if Charlene was in a hospital, I would steal a white lab coat and pretend to be a doctor and come in the back door and find my way to her room. That's just all there is to it. Do not try and tell me we can't see our family anymore. That's just, it's got to stop. Find your way of fixing it, people. Mask them up in a spacesuit, but let them see the family. There is no reason in the world why a friend of mine whose daughter just had a baby and only lives 30 minutes away, why she can't go and visit until the daughter comes home. I understand that it's scary, and I understand that there's, you know, liabilities, but at some point, society has to get back to normal. Dr. Hashmi, in this article that I'm reading right now, he's from the Cleveland Clinic Center for Geriatric Medicine. He says that what we've almost seen here is a pandemic within a pandemic when it comes to mental health in seniors. He says social connectivity with your loved one, it can be as simple as a phone call, but it's got to happen. The same article goes on to talk about what's happening with kids. And children and teenagers have experienced anxiety and uncertainty during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, it says. I get it. But it goes on to say that it's experiencing probably higher levels than they've ever seen of some of the mental health disorders that are becoming more prominent by kids who have been taken away from their routines, taken away from their friends, taken away from school and the stretching of their minds. And that's got to stop. All right? It just does. All right, folks, time to go to that short break we always take right about now. If you want to call in, you're welcome to 866-494-9866. Copper, I'm going to try and get this clip ready for you if I can during the break. But in the meantime, folks, just know this. It is time to get back out in the world. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about what's happening down in Orange Beach to make sure that people have connectivity. I think it's pretty cool. Yep, I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just sent Copper an audio clip that I hope we can get to in a minute, and it's a little bit longer than usual, but it's so cool. It's Captain Charlie Plum. He was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. He talks about the fact, if we get down to it, he talks about the fact that he spent all this time in isolation, being tortured, feeling the guilt of having to go through the torture, and then what happened when he suddenly finally had contact with other prisoners and how it changed his perspective. Before we do that, though, I see I've got a caller, line four, Jack from Huntsville. Hey, Jack, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Mr. Williams, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How you doing?
All right, I just want to make a comment about the churches and COVID.
Okay.
And I believe this all the way down to my heart. I believe if people was to turn theyself around and quit doing what they know God do not like, and I'm speaking about abortions, gay marriages, and all that stuff, things would turn around.
Texas tried
to stop the abortions the other week, and Biden, our president, say he's going to use everything he got up there in Washington. Well, it won't pass, and I hear it today. It didn't pass.
Well, and I think you're talking about the bill that Nancy Pelosi's trying to float through to accentuate abortions, and yeah, I agree with you. But so what are you saying, Jack? Are you saying that all of the stuff with COVID and isolation, all that will go away if we'll just get our lives straight? Is that what you're saying?
If we start doing what the Lord wants us to do and not what he don't want us to do, we would see a big difference.
All right, Jack. Good call, man. Thank you for that. And so bottom line is I do agree that there's a lot to be said for the blessings of God that that do flow. I don't know that I'm going to choose to blame COVID and everything else on an angry God. That's more than I should ever try and do. But let's do this. I think we have time. Copper, this clip, I see you're ready with it? Yeah, okay, great. That's quick. This clip is about 2 minutes. All right, it's a little bit longer than what I would normally play. But Captain Charlie Plum is talking about his experience in prison, in being tortured, and finally recognizing that he couldn't hold out on the torture anymore, and he gave them the information they said they wanted, and how guilty he felt, thrown back into his cell. He was suddenly able to begin making contact soon thereafter with other members of the prison community, other American soldiers and officers who were in isolation like he was. And they communicated, by the way, with tapping on the walls using code or having a little wire they would pass underneath the wall, and they would tug it back and forth using a Morse code style with the tugs. So I'm going to try and play this, and let's see if it works out. Copper, go ahead and play that clip.
Depression and guilt, you know, for a long time until I finally got communication with one of the guys in the cell next to me, Bob Shoemaker. Shoe had been in prison for 2 years when I showed up. And so he was a fount of knowledge and wisdom. And the first thing he told me when I confessed to him that I had failed, you know, that I had given up to the enemy, he said, hell, everybody did that. None of us was as strong as we wanted to be. So pull up your big boy pants. We've got a war to fight here. He said, our senior leadership in this prison camp is the finest you will ever see. He said, you've just joined the best team you will ever play on, ever. They've redefined our mission. We're not on the defensive. And I'll tell you this, when I heard that, he's passing this to me on in a code, tapping on a wall. In this case, he was tugging on a wire in this secret code that we had developed. And so it was very slow. You know, the communication was very slow, but it was very deliberate. You know, he said, we're not on the defensive. And I remember, you know, stepping away from that wall and looking around in my little prison cell, you know, 8 foot by 8 feet and not a book to read or a window to look at or a pencil or a piece of paper. You know, a 2 gallon bucket in the corner was my toilet. I mean, it was pretty grim situations. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not on the defensive, huh? Well, he said, no, our leadership has redefined this. We have a mission. We are military guys and we are warriors, and we will pursue this war till our last dying breath. Well, it still seemed to be pretty silly for me as a junior officer to have all these senior guys down in the end cell block, you know, wanting me to conform to their military regimen. But it worked. We set up this community by the communication and built this team, and so that we could face the enemy with solidarity.
There you go. Stop it there, cop. Face the enemy with solidarity. Building a team. That's what it's all about, folks. I'll wrap this segment up when we get back, tell you what's happening down in Orange Beach. I think you're going to like it. But it's good. Get out there and see people. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.